chapter 10 of the Bhagavad Gita is called The Opulence of the Absolute. Krishna is describing how he's, what his position is. Vedanam samavedosmi devanam asmi vasava. Indriyanam namaschasmi bhutanam chasmi chetana. Of all the Vedas, I am the Samaveda. Because the Samaveda is the original Veda. It was originally only one Veda. That's the original one. And then it was divided. Amongst the demigods, I am Indra, the king. Indra is the king of the Devas. And of the senses, I am the mind. So we have the mind's called the sixth sense, or the common sense, and the other senses that generally you're talking about are the eyes, and the ears, and the nose. What else? Tongue, yeah. And what else? Touch, yeah. So those are the things that we enjoy, we perceive through. It's also working senses, the legs and the belly and the tongue, also the genital. They do the work. But these knowledge-gathering senses, the sight and the ear, the smell, and different animals have very strong, usually one of those senses very strong. But human beings are all strong and we get dragged around by them. And the mind is the king of the senses because the other senses can't work. They work. The mind works through them. And if your mind is not working, then the senses won't work. If your mind is stunned or your mind is dulled by some drug or something, then the senses don't work properly, right? So the mind is a king of the senses. So among the senses, that would mean Krishna. And among living beings, I am the living force, consciousness. Purport, the difference between matter and spirit is that matter has no consciousness, like the living entity. Therefore, this consciousness is supreme and eternal. Consciousness cannot be produced by a combination of matter. There are some Buddhists, I don't know if that's original Buddhist teaching because... But common idea in modern Buddhism is that the consciousness is a product of the body. And that modern science thinks like that sometimes too. But they haven't been able to find the mind, and the more they research, the more they're getting further away, and the more they're, some people are realizing that the consciousness is some separate thing. Even I read one scientific article and they said, it seems like it might be, you know, it could be even something like religion says, that there's a soul. But they don't want to say that there is, but they're seeing that the mind is, the consciousness is far removed from the body, and sometimes someone can be, you know, practically pronounced dead medically, and then they end up, they're not dead, but afterward they remember everything the doctors were saying and everything the doctors did, and you know, they say, well, I felt like I was up on the ceiling watching the whole show. And as far as all the medical tests, their brain was dead, everything was dead, nothing was working. Sometimes just due to anesthetic, you know, as far as they're concerned, there's no consciousness. But then they wake up and they remember everything. Details that they couldn't possibly have known unless they witnessed it. So the consciousness is a separate thing. That's the soul, and ultimately it's Krishna behind it. So the next verse is Rudranam Shankarachasmi Vitisho Yaksha Rakshashim Vasunam Panavachasmi Meru Shikshakiram Aham. Of all the Rudras, I am Lord Shiva. But Shiva is the original of the Rudras. And Of all the yakshas and rakshasas, I am the lord of wealth, Kubera. Kubera is one of the big demigods, who is the king of all the yakshas. And of the vasus, I am fire, Agni. And of mountains, I am Meru. Mount Meru is a huge mountain in the universe, kind of like a central thing. So that means that the greatest thing, it's like a representative of Krishna, all these things are a list of the biggest thing amongst the mountains, the greatest thing amongst so many different things. So that can remind us of Krishna, because of everything, Krishna is the greatest. So we can read two more. There are 11 Rudras, of whom Shankara, Lord Shiva, is predominant. He is the incarnation of the Supreme Lord in charge of the mode of ignorance of the universe. The leader of the Yakshas and Rakshas is Kubera, the master treasurer of the demigods, and he is representative of the Supreme Lord. Meru is the mountain famed for its rich natural resources. Purudamas chamukyam mam viriparta vrihaspatam senanim aham skanda sarasvam ashmi sagara. A priest know me to be the chief brihaspati. Of generals, I am Kartikeya, and of bodies of water, I am the ocean. Purport. Indra is the chief demigod of all the heavenly planets and is known as the king of the heavens. The planet on which he reigns is called Indraloka. Brihaspati is Indra's priest. And since Indra is the chief of all the kings, Brihaspati is the chief of all priests. And in the as Indra is the chief of all kings, similarly Skanda, or Kartikeya, the son of Parvati and Lord Shiva, is the chief of all military commanders. And of all bodies of water, the ocean is the greatest. These representations of Krishna only give hint of his greatness. So, who's ever seen the ocean? We're an island here, so you must have maybe seen it. It's quite big. And like in America, we have these great lakes. So they're really huge lakes, but each one of them is really huge. But if you took any one of them, all of them, and put them in the ocean, and then nothing, it wouldn't affect the ocean at all, but dump the whole thing in there. You know. So the ocean is so much bigger. So that's a chief. Who's from South India? You know, Skanda, Kartikeya, Subramaniam, right? You're from South?
From
Bombay. Oh. In South India, they worship Subramaniam a lot. Kartikeya. He's not really a god, but he's not exactly, well, he's a demigod, but he's not a big, but somehow he's a leader. He was born especially from Shiva and Parvati to be in commander-in-chief for their armies. Demons were really fighting, so you hear that name. More Subramaniam, they call him. But in the Vedas, he's called Kartikeya. Indra is the chief. So, Maharshinam Briguraham Giram Asmikyam Aksharam Yad Gyanam Japo Jagyosmi Stavaranam Himalaya. Okay, this is a significant one for us. Jagnosmi Japa Jagyosmi. Of the great sages, I am Bhrigu. Of vibrations, I am the transcendental Om. So, anybody who did a yoga or something, we always learn to chant Om. Right? And every Vedic mantra begins with Om, Omkara, and Hare Krishna is the same, only better. The Hare Krishna mantra is same as Om, only better. Easier to meditate on in this day and age, and something more personal. But Om is the name of Krishna also, and it's very good. Of sacrifices, I am the chanting of the holy name, japa. Yajnanam japa yajnasmi. So for us, that's very significant, because our movement is based on chanting the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So japa means chanting the holy name. We chant japa with beads, more private meditation, peaceful. We also chant kirtan with music, dancing, but it's all chanting the holy name. It's all the yajna, called in Kali Yuga the Maha Yajna, Maha Yajna. Yajna means to make things sacred, to offer to Vishnu, to do things for the pleasure of the Lord. Sacrifice. The sacrifice doesn't mean you cut off your arm or something like some crazy people. Some demons do that. You know, we read in the Krishna book, they're worshipping Lord Shiva and they're cutting off their own flesh and offering to the fire. And one demon was going to cut off his head, finally. And then Lord Shiva came and said, no, 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 you don't have to do that. I'll just get some water or something. But they do that kind of sacrifice. If people now, the word sacrifice, you know, they think kill an animal, you know, that's sacrifice. Do something that's very painful. But it just means to give something up for the sake of something bigger. I don't know how that cricket game works. I don't know what's original, but America, they have a baseball, it's something like that. But I think it's quite, there's many things that are different, so. The hitter is usually trying to hit the ball far and get himself to advance, you know. But sometimes, if someone else is ready to move, he will do something very small where he'll be put out, but the other guy can move, and that's called a sacrifice, because it helps the team. He doesn't get, his average goes down, and his, you know, his scorecard doesn't go up and everything personally. But the team does better, so that's called a sacrifice. But when the team does better, it benefits all the players also. Right? So when we do things for Krishna, we may give up eating meat, or we may give up, you know, going out to the pubs, you know, give up, oh, that's terrible, how will you be happy? But then you make spiritual advancement by doing that. You get closer to Krishna, and you get something much better. You get prasada. You get kirtan, you get darshan of the deity, instead of some sports on a big television or something. You know, you get at the pub, right? What do you get at a pub?
Rugby.
Huh?
Rugby.
Rugby games? Yeah. Depends on what country you're in. Football game, rugby game, baseball game, you know, horse race, you know. Presidential campaign, you know, you something crazy, some sport, you know, wrestling, you know. I thought that American presidential campaign, the only thing I could compare it to was professional wrestling. It's just a big show. And whoever can make the most noise and attract the most attention, he wins. He's the popular, so that'll make the people happy. Okay, so yajna is japa. It's the Maha Yajna, chanting the holy name. In this day and age, it's the only really yajna that works. We do a few other small, you know, fires and stuff, but they all have to be accompanied by chanting of the holy name, otherwise it'll be no effect. In previous ages, they did big, big yajnas for years and years and years. The king would carry on yajnas, tons of grains and ghee and jewels and gold. And, you know, but this day and age, we can't do any of that animal sacrifice yajnas and all that. But chanting the holy name is the most, at any time anyway, the best yajna. At this time it's the only Maha Yajna. Jagyanam japa yajnosmi. Stavaranam Himalaya. Brahma, the first living creator within the universe, created several suns for the propagation of various kinds of species. Among these suns, Bhrigu, is the most powerful stage of all the transcendental vibrations. Om represents Krishna. Of all sacrifices, the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is the purest representation of Krishna. Sometimes animal sacrifices are recommended, but in the sacrifice of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, there is no question of violence. It is the simplest and purest. Whatever is sublime in the world is the representation of Krishna. Therefore, the Himalaya, the greatest mountains in the world, also represent Krishna. The mountain named Meru was mentioned in a previous verse, but Meru is sometimes movable, whereas the Himalayas are never movable. Thus, they are greater. Yeah, no one ever moved the Himalaya mountains. Right? They're immovable. Mountains are generally immovable. Of course, Krishna could pick up any mountain, but he doesn't do that. Ashvatam, Ashvata Sarva Vrikshanam, Devarshinam Chanarida, Gandharvanam Chitarata, Siddhanam Kapilomuni. Of all trees, I am the banyan tree, and of sages among the demigods, I am Narada. Of the Gandharvas, I am Chitrarata, and among perfected beings, I am the sage Kapila. Purport. The banyan tree, Ashvat, is one of the highest and most beautiful trees, and people of India often worship it as one of their wish fulfilling holy daily rituals. They will never cut a banyan tree in India, even though there's some medicinal value. Sometimes Hindus will never cut it. Amongst the demigods, they also worship Narada. Another thing is Shiva sits under a banyan tree. It's cool. It's a nice place to meditate, very peaceful. It's spread out very far, and you know, there's no wind there, and it's quiet and nice. So they put little Shiva altars or something. Not exactly worshiping the tree, but honoring it because of its position like that. The Gandharva planet is filled with entities who sing beautifully, and among them, the best singer is Chitrarata. Among the perfect living entities, Kapila, the son of Devahuti, is a representative of Krishna. He is considered an incarnation of Krishna, and his philosophy is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. Later on, another Kapila became famous, but his philosophy was atheistic. Thus, there is a gulf of difference between them. So, everyone has heard of Kapila Muni from the Srimad Bhagavatam? Anybody? Yeah? No? From the third canto. It's a very long part of the Bhagavatam, a very scientific. He explains, he starts out explaining bhakti, and then he explains everything about science, the universe, time, and the atom, and the child developing in the womb, and so many things. Speaking to his mother, Devahuti, as Kapila was like, incarnation of Krishna. It's a very interesting part of the Bhagavatam to read if you have a philosophical bent to your mind. And you can learn a lot. His description of the development of the child in the womb, which this book was written 5,000 years ago and he spoke millions of years ago, is exactly what they discovered recently in the last 25 years or something, when they were able to put a camera and watch the development. You know, when they put a camera inside or something. It's very interesting. And many, many things like that, explaining material science, and then material science will on it somehow discover the exact same thing and take credit that they've discovered it. It's already there. Next is Uchai Sravam Ashvatanam Siddhamam Amritodvavam Airavata Gajendranam Naranam Cha Naradipa. Of horses, I am Uchai Srava, produced during the churning of the ocean of nectar. Of bull, the elephants, lord the elephants, I am Airavata, and among men I am the monarch. Those two, that horse and that, those are Indras. When the demigods and the demons were churning the ocean, these different things came out. So the king of elephants is Indra's elephant and the best horse. And among humans I am the king. The devotee demigods and the demons once upon a time were churning the ocean. From this churning, nectar and poison were produced, and Lord Shiva drank the poison. From the nectar were produced many entities. There was a horse named Uchai Srava. Another animal produced from the nectar was an elephant named Airavata. Because these two animals were produced from nectar, they have special significance and they are representations of Krishna. Among the human beings, the king is a representative of Krishna because Krishna is the maintainer of the universe. And the kings, who are appointed on account of their godly qualifications, are maintainers of the kingdoms. Kings like Maharaj Yudhisthira, Maharaj Parikshit, and Lord Rama were all highly righteous kings who always thought of the citizens' welfare. In Vedic literature, the king is considered to be the representative of God in this age. However, with the corruption of the principles of religion, monarchy decayed, and now is finally abolished. And it is to be understood that in the past, however, people were more happy under righteous kings. But here we still have a queen. And you might have a king soon, but it's not the same because they don't really have power. Somehow people like to have a king or something, you know, for whatever reason, or a queen, someone that they let enjoy very much, you know. But it's actually strenuous too to be in that position. So the king is called Naradevata. So he's treated like a god on earth. And in the Bhagavatam we have even history of kings who got carried away. One king named Vena, he took that too seriously, and he gave an order that no one could worship Vishnu, only could worship him, because he was God on earth. So the Brahmanas tried to convince him of his fallacy of his philosophy, but he wouldn't go for it. He made a law, you can't worship God, you can only worship him. So they got together and they chanted mantras and killed him. And European history, there were kings in recent times, right? All over. But they were ruled by the church. The church had more power. And they could advise them. There was something like Vedic culture where the Brahmanas advised the king. But then the kings got carried away and they didn't want to take any advice from the king. I know I was studying history in college and I had to hear again and again about this Henry the Eighth guy. You know about him? Huh? If you're from England, you might have heard of him, right? I'm Henry the Eighth, I am. So, he wanted a divorce. And the Catholic Church wouldn't let him divorce. So he declared that his kingdom independent of the church and made the Church of England and made the king in charge of the church, right? And then he could have a divorce again and again. So that was in modern history like where that's. But then many people got unhappy with the kings and with the church. The kings became unhappy with the corrupted church and the corrupted leaders of the church, so they didn't want to follow them anymore. And then the businessmen and people got fed up with the king and they had industrial revolutions and democracy and everything. And then there was communism. The Sudras got fed up with everyone. And now we just have demo crazy or, you know, something. A few countries still have kings. A few kings are halfway decent. Some countries, you know, they're popular and they help take care of the people. Again, I went to the university today and there was one big building and it was donated by the king of Brunei. It's a very small country but very rich from oil. He donated a building and he takes care of the citizens and that place. But generally nowadays there's no kings. But a good king is very good. That's a good system. The good king has to have advisors who are brahmanas who are spiritual and guide him, you know, how to do things, keep him in, you know, the good king is called a Raja Rishi. He's educated spiritually. He's also actually a martial, you know, kingly government and all that, but he's educated spiritually. He's a Rishi, and like Pandavas, and you know, but they always consulted with the Brahmins, and they always did ritualistic, you know, devotional activities. They always depended on God, the good kings. That's what we need for government. And if the people nowadays, because the people elect the government, if the people become righteous, you know, and spiritually oriented, then they'll elect people who are like that also. So this goes on and on, this chapter. Of weapons, I'm the thunderbolt. That's Indra's weapon. Very powerful thing, lightning. Right? Anybody ever been hit by lightning? You wouldn't be here probably if you were hit by lightning. It's very powerful. Can crack a mountain. Very powerful. Indra has that weapon. He can control it. Among cows, he's Surabhi. Surabhi cow can give unlimited milk. And many other things also. Anything you want. Of causes of procreation is Kandarpa, Cupid, and the god of love, and of serpents is Vasuki, is the king of the snakes. Of many hooded nagas, I am Ananta. Anantashesha is spiritual, actually. He's lying in the causal ocean, and Mahavishnu lies on top of him. It's Balaram. Expansion of Balaram. And among the aquatics, I am the demigod Varuna. He's the king of the seas. And of departed ancestors, I am Aryama. And among the dispensers of law, I am Yama, the lord of death. That's Yamaraj. Anybody heard of Yamaraj? No? Yamaraj is the judge. When people die that aren't devotees, devotees would go right back to Krishna, but we have to be judged. So Yamaraj is the one that the people are brought in front of to decide what your future will be. If you go to heaven, you go to hell, what kind of body you get. Busy man. He's the most dispenser of law. Yama. Yama means control. So if we don't control our senses and live right, then we have to come before Yamaraj. Some people are put to heaven and others are sent to hell. But he's completely fair. He has full information. He knows everything. Among the Daitya demons, I am Prahlad. And among subduers of time, I am time. Among subduers, I am time. And among beasts, I am the lion. And the birds, he's Garuda. The lion is called the king of the jungle, of course. Aditi and Diti were two sisters, and they had one had all the demons, and the other one had all the devotees or the children. There are many subduing principles, but time melts down all things in the material universe, and so represents Krishna. of all the many animals, the lion is the most powerful and voracious. And of the million varieties of birds, Garuda, the carrier of Vishnu, is the greatest. Time, Krishna says, time I am. Kalo Sriham. Time is the factor that Krishna enters into the universe, the elements. Without that time factor, nothing happens. But when time factor comes, then we start running around, we start worrying about things, we start getting things done, we start taking birth and growing and dying and all that due to the time. And no one can stop time. Right? If you don't wear a watch and you just think, I don't care about time, the time is going on anyway. The day after day, the sun comes up, the sun goes down, and we lose, you know, one day is removed from our lifespan. People have different stupid ideas about time. The Seiko watch company, I don't know if they still use this, but they used to have one advertisement. And they said, man invented time, and Seiko perfected it. But what does a Seiko watch do, even if it keeps so-called perfect time? It's keeping track of the movements of the sun and moon. Right? So the machine that we make to keep track of time is good only as much as it exactly matches up to that. That never changes, never deviates. You don't have to wind it up. You don't have to put a battery. You don't have to shake your hand. You don't have to do anything. It just works. The sundial, you know, keeps perfect time. Throughout history, even nowadays in the village, you know, they know what time it is by looking at the sky. They know. You know, they know how long it's going to be light. They know at night even by looking at the stars. They don't need the machines and anything. Man didn't invent it. It's going on forever. As soon as the mature world started happening, time is there. That's Krishna. Time I am. And I've come to engage everyone, Krishna says. He's engaging everyone. Keeping everyone busy. Rushing here and there. We're all rushing to catch something, right? To get to work on time, to get to the train on time, to get somewhere on time, right? Before the, you know, the, you'll see after Christmas that the next one year they had a sale that started something like 5 o'clock in the morning. People were lined up all night waiting for 5 o'clock in the morning to get in there. You know, time. They have to be there on time. They have to be early. So many events like that. So that's Krishna actually. And we're all very much aware of time all the time, and we shouldn't. This is Krishna. It's just another powerful aspect. It's not all that Krishna is, but it represents Krishna. Because in the mature world, there's nothing more powerful than time. Nothing more unstoppable than time. So it's a very interesting chapter. It goes on and on much further, but maybe there's some question or comment. Take some time for that. See if we can get everybody participating instead of just hearing me babble a while. Alright. Any question?
I think that game of thumb was called rounders.
Huh?
That game of thumb was crickets called rounders. Rounders.
Yeah.
What's that?
What's that?
Well, that's the game that had somebody support as far as it can.
Hit it far enough and it can run around.
It's called rounders.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know anything about cricket. I know that people get addicted to watching it. I went on the beach in Bombay on Sunday afternoon and there were hundreds of cricket games going. The whole beach was full of cricket. But there's a time on it, on cricket. Some sports are by time, you know, you take time out. You can stop the clock for a while, right?
Awesome.
Huh?
basketball.
Yeah, you can stop the clock, but it can't really stop it. It has to come back on again quickly. They have to win in a certain time. Krishna, pushing, forcing, you have to move. We have a certain time we can live. We don't know when it's going to be up, so we have to be aware to make use of this time for Krishna, for spiritual advancement, because we don't know how much we have. Nobody can say for sure. All right? Next. Any other question, comment? That was you?
No.
No, what's your name?
Tracy.
My hearing is not very good now.
Tracy.
Yeah. Hi. You from London?
I am, yes. Mm. This is my second time here.
Oh, really?
I'm new.
Nice.
Yeah.
Do you have Bhagavad Gita?
No.
Oh, well.
No.
Afterwards, you can pick one up.
I hope so, yeah.
Yeah, it's nice to have. Since you're in Germany. Yeah.
I was very interested, so it's just my second time, so I'm
good.
Learning.
Good. Very good. All right. Any other? Comment? Question? Time?
When you go so far into space.
When you what?
You go some distance into the sky.
Yeah.
And then something that surrounds it's called a Van Halen belt. It's actually.
Science Van Halen belt?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they say.
It's up between Earth and space.
I don't know. I don't know how it compares with. See, that's not very far away, actually, than this. Not even this universe, according to science. You know, the universe is so big, it's 4 billion miles or something.